If you will, please turn to the back of your bulletin and we will read our scripture together. The scripture for this morning is the 6th chapter of Ephesians, reading verses 10 through 20. Those first 9 verses, Paul has given some instruction, and then he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. You see, even Paul didn't believe he was able to do it all himself. He asked the people to pray for him. And so we pray for each other. As Laura has mentioned, Christmas is only 1 week behind us. Actually, in some ways that seems like a little while ago, doesn't it? It always sort of seems that way after Christmas has passed. The good news is this. Christmas of 2017 is only 51 weeks away. Not 52, just 51. As you know, this is New Year's Day of the year 2017. And how long do you think it's going to take you to quit writing 2016? I just had to throw that one in because I know it's going to take me weeks. Of course, Christmas being happily in just our recent days, one of the typical icons of everyone's Christmas, Christian or secular, that icon is gifts. So be prepared. A good deal of my message today is devoted to gifts. Because our Christmas as Christians is a major focus on the gifts of God. And it is the good gift of giving us this first day of a new year for which we've come this day to thank God, and also to thank him for the prospects of a new year in and with his blessings. We're going to focus on gifts. And just to get you thinking and anticipating a bit about that focus, a majority of my message, as I say, is from God, and it is of his gift to you today. And it's wrapped up in words that begin with the letter P. Now, you know, preachers like to organize their sermons around some sort of common context and or scheme, and today the organizing principle is the letter P. So I'm going to speak on personal, present, precious, permanent, and powerful. So think on those words, because you're going to hear them again. I know it's hard to remember when I just gave you 5 words so quickly, but you remember the last one? Powerful. Powerful. That word leads me to ask, where do you find strength for living? Where do you find power for living? Well, I know such a question produces a lot of individual thinking, so let me suggest some possible ideas. This is true, obviously, in a college town like Carbondale. Some people are looking for strength in the securing of a good education. And I wouldn't fit in this town very well if I didn't say such thinking is certainly to be commended. However, a high school diploma or a master's degree or even degrees or titles above that, none of that guarantees us the strength that we will need when we are threatened by the real pressures of much of life. And then some seek for strength in the acquiring of great financial resources. Well, of course, a whole lot of money can solve many of the problems that we face, but absolutely cannot solve all of them. And many are convinced that they find the strength they need for living in the developing of meaningful friendships. And I don't think any of us can overestimate the value of strong friendships. True friends are actually a very rich blessing from God. But there is not a person in this world that you call best friend or brother or sister or parent or any other person who can meet your every need. And you know, there are a lot of self-help books out there, life advice articles that are written, been written for years, probably every year, we get the proposal from some author of ideas on getting the strength you need for living this life. And you know some of the famous ones, Mark Twain, Stephen Covey, John Updike, Norman Vincent Peale. Perhaps you may know some of the not famous ones, but I think they like to think they're famous. I was looking at this and I saw numerous self-help articles by some woman named Layla Gifty Akita. See, you don't have to be famous to be published. But there's this one author that I will turn to anytime, and I will turn to always, and his name was the Apostle Paul. Out of the wisdom of inspiration from God, he said that strength sufficient for coping with all of life's problems, comes, and here it is, it comes only from the Lord. That's for all of life's problems. And that's the beginning of our text for this morning, verse 10 there. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You see, Paul was living in an environment where the strength of the oppressive Roman Empire was prominent. It was everywhere. And evil was deep-rooted. And so from many years of experience, this veteran follower of Jesus Christ wrote his heart out, encouraging his readers to be strengthened in the Lord and in his more than adequate power. Paul found the strength that he needed it for all circumstances in Jesus Christ, as he wrote so eloquently to his friends in Philippi, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. He had learned how to live with complete contentment in what could have been the depths of despair, and with that same complete contentment in how to live on the crest of victory and success, because he had both. All because he dedicated himself to living fully in the Lord. Paul was aware of Satan's methods. He was aware of his meanness. And he knew that our only hope for victory would be found in the strength of the Lord. I think your life is, your life, all of your lives, those of you who are awake, your lives are not so different from mine in the larger scope of life. And so I think I speak today for all of our lives as we look at and as we address the immensity of our responsibilities as individuals. And then put us together as we are a church family, and put us together as all of the churches that represent Christ in the world. And so I add the great responsibilities that we have as a church, as the church. Responsibilities of our individual lives, responsibilities we have as the church, all of that great burden or tasks demands that we rely on the strength that comes from above. Now, before you get disheartened and start thinking this preacher's leading you down a path of doom and gloom, let me lift your spirits immediately. Jesus, who is the Lord of your life and directs your course as you allow him to, has promised his disciples the spiritual vitality that we would need to live victorious lives and to be the effective servants that he has called us to be. And here's a reminder, and you know it, I'm just reminding you, Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then again, I turn to Paul as he encourages the believers in Ephesus to be strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, be very careful then how you live, he says, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, speaking and singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those were words of exhortation to a church, to a group made up of individuals about 2,000 years ago. And they are easily taken as words now to us 2,000 years later as to our life goal for starting a new life in 2017 and a new year. Make the most of every opportunity, he said, by being filled with the Spirit. Be strong in the Lord. I see that as not only the good life, good goal of life that we look ahead, but also not just a goal, but an imperative. Being filled with the Spirit and strong in the Lord, that's the imperative. It's not optional for believers who want to both overcome evil and make ourselves effective servants of the Lord. Okay, it is January 1st. It's no longer December. Christmas is past, but God keeps on giving his gift, that gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Father's personal gift to each believer. That's the first P. Personal gift to each believer. One of the great promises of God to every person who is sin repentant and confesses his faith in Jesus Christ and displays that openly through believer's baptism is the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know that. I trust that. I believe that because that is the faithful word of God. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. And you know, in our homes, under each of our Christmas trees, were beautifully wrapped packages of loving gifts with a little label on each one. Merry Christmas to you from me. It was a great day. It was a fun day. It was a day of loving and caring. But so much more than just one day. Every day, we are given gifts abundantly from our Heavenly Father. And if we take time to look at the label, they all say, to you from God. You see, the gifts of God are his personal gifts to us. And the most personal of all, since the gift of his Son to the people of the first century, God gives us his personal presence every day, day by day, for all of our lives, following our conversion and commitment to Christ. And that personal presence of God is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the personal gift. The Holy Spirit is the Father's present gift to each of his children. That's the word, that's the assurance of 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Dwells. That means there all the time, always in the present time. Not just yesterday, but today also. Now, some people, I think, have difficulty thinking of the Holy Spirit in any terms other than of ancient history. Oh, it's not that they don't believe that there's a Holy Spirit that's real in Scripture, but the concept of him is as having been active on the day of Pentecost and during the days of the church's early infancy. They're either not aware of the teachings of all of the New Testament, or they've not adopted it as relevant to their current life, and thus they've not responded to his living presence. So I say to them, read and know your faith in all of the New Testament, and he becomes a living presence for you. Not just God working in the past to establish his church. God is the present gift to you in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the precious gift to each of his children. Most of us have just had the fun and rewarding experience of giving Christmas gifts to family members, to friends. And the value and the type of gifts that we give varies according to our relationships with the persons to whom we give, or according to their age, according to their interests. Some gifts will be considered really valuable, while others will have just little personal meaning at all. Just a gift because that person probably expects that we're going to exchange some kind of gift. But God gives us his Holy Spirit. When he gives us that, he gives us the most precious gift he has given since he gave his only begotten Son. Both of those gifts, the Holy Spirit and the Son of God, are the most precious gifts of all time. And I don't mean this in any way flippant, but know this. The Holy Spirit is precious to us because he is the gift that keeps on giving. Romans 8:16. The Holy Spirit helps us to know that we are the children of God. Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit will assist us in our prayer life. Romans 8:14. The Holy Spirit will lead us in the right paths as we try to live godly lives. Romans 8:11. Through the Holy Spirit, God assures us that he will raise us from the dead to heavenly life. So how do you value this gift of God to you? Well, I just ask you to take this as my call to you to consider the Holy Spirit as a precious gift. And the Holy Spirit is the Father's permanent gift to each of his children. Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 13 and 14, speaks to me of that kind of permanence. It says, when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession. Now, if I were to put that in my own words, I think it would be something like this. The Holy Spirit is the divine seal of God's ownership. He's granted to each believer and serves as a divine guarantee that God will complete the great redemption that was started within each of us in our conversion experience. It was started as a gift. It continues as a gift. It will be completed as a gift. Once begun, it is a permanent gift, and that gift is guaranteed. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit. I believe when Paul wrote to that encouraging group of people in the Ephesian area, he was reflecting on the remembrance that he had of the writing of the Apostle John, who gives us the words of the Son of God, Jesus. And you know, in that great 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus encouraged his disciples in a time when they were just suddenly, naturally sinking into despondency. Jesus had just told them that he would be leaving them. But he lifted their spirits immediately by assuring them that the Holy Spirit would dwell with them and in them forever. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You see, in comparison to our Lord's brief ministry on earth, the Holy Spirit was granted, bestowed as a permanent gift to do the work of God within each of us. So here we are so far. The gift of the Holy Spirit is, and I'm giving you to these in reverse order as I've given them to you. The last one was permanent, precious, present, and personal. And now one more. The Holy Spirit is the Father's powerful gift to each of you. Let's go to Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. And then there's what Paul wrote to Timothy. And he wrote this to all of us. The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, and love, and self-discipline. You see, God's power becomes available to us in ample and adequate supply when we recognize and admit to our weaknesses and follow that immediately by casting ourselves on the grace and the sustaining presence of Christ and the Spirit within us. You know, Paul had some sort of disability. Perhaps it was physical, perhaps it was emotional, but he really wanted to rid himself of it so that he might be a more effective servant. It was a nice thought. He pleaded his case before God. But his answer that we read is so helpful as an answer to all of us. 2 Corinthians 12. Three times, he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. That's this disability. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. You see, we are to strengthen ourselves in the power of the Holy Spirit rather than to lean on our own or on any other human resources as we try to cope with the stresses and the pressures and the dangers of life. And as a reminder and an instruction to all of us, the great apostle speaks from personal experience when he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. I mean, we just say that over and over and over. We live our lives through that. Paul was celebrating the personal and the present and the precious and the permanent and the powerful gift, the adequate indwelling Spirit, whom he knew gave him strength to do all that he needed to do in any circumstance. And in that same strength, the Lord, through his Spirit, let us face the fears that threaten us. Let us resist Satan and draw close to God. And let us face our responsibilities and our opportunities. Because Jesus Christ wants to bring God's strength into our lives by the always present Spirit of God. And will do so as you trust him and as you follow him. Well, I think you have to admit that one gift from God, his giving of the Holy Spirit, is an overwhelming gift. This is our Father God who also gave us the gift of his Son for many of the same, but for some different reasons. The Son given as an all-inclusive valued gift, a complete ransom payment for our salvation, for our entrance into eternal life. And we could in no way pay that payment, could we? Only given to us as a gift from the Father. And then the last gift I want to remind us of this morning, certainly not God's last gift, but as a last mention for this morning, a gift of a symbol for remembrance given to us from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper, Amen. As we sometimes call it, communion. When Jesus gave this symbol to his first disciples, and thus to all of his subsequent disciples, you and me, he gave it as a gift for them, for us, to constantly remember him and to remember the ransom sacrifice those first disciples were going to soon observe in its awesome reality. Their master, their friend, our master and friend, suspended on the crucifixion cross, his body, the bread of life broken for us, his blood, the very essence of life, spilled for us. And so now, once again, as Jesus instructed, as often as we do this, we will do it today in remembrance of him. Amen. At his invitation, let us gather around the Lord's table.